produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Fridays, and hello to all my little mamas that are out there listening. And today, I just want to say welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. Thank you for being part of this show. And today, I just hope that to all you mamas out there, I can just remind you that you are doing a great job. Don't get discouraged in motherhood. Motherhood isn't easy. Motherhood is not perfect. It is sometimes comes with a lot of weight and responsibilities. And sometimes motherhood is heavy and it's hard. But it's also beautiful, and it's also fun and enjoyable, and it's rewarding. And in the midst of the chaos and in the struggles, don't lose sight of who is right there with you in your motherhood journey. God is right there wanting to ease that load from off of you. He's wanting to encourage you in the Lord, and he's wanting to take the heavy load from you, the load that wasn't yours to carry. And a lot of times we put heavy expectation on our shoulders. So today I just want to remind you to let those expectations go. If the house is a mess and you haven't had a shower today or brushed your hair, it's okay. Listen, I'm talking from experience here, when sometimes my goal was just to brush my teeth that day. But and all joking aside, listen, just enjoy those babies, because you're going to blink and they're going to be big before you know it. So the chaos, as you know it, will soon calm, I promise. And as the Bible says, this too shall pass. So enjoy the moment, the season you're in, even when it's hard and it's heavy. I just felt like God was wanting me to tell that to some mama out there. So thank you for continuing to love those babies. Thank you for continuing to love the Lord. Just keep doing it one day at a time. Take a deep breath and be still. I know that God is still on his throne. He sees you, mama, and he's right there with you in your motherhood journey. So welcome, mamas. And we have been going through the book Sparkle and Shine, and we've been talking about how to share your light, shine your light in your home, because your home is your most important place to set an example, to reach those within your realm of influence. And often we put our families last. We live in a very social media, popularity, fame, do big things for God driven type of mentality now. And often because we're looking to seek that pat on the back and that glory and that confirmation from other people, we begin to forget that our main duty and our main responsibility and our main calling and our main mission field is right in our home. So Sparkle and Shine is just reminding us to shine our light in our home. That's our first, most important calling, mission field, assignment that we've been given as mothers. So throughout this book, we have been talking about ways to do that. And today's topic is part two from the last time we met together when we talked about the power of the tongue. And listen, let me just say that very often we fail to use grace and wisdom and words of kindness in our home because what we think, well, they're our kids, it doesn't matter. We can vent at them and we can tell them how we feel and we can yell and we can scream and we can be mean. It's okay, they're our kids, they aren't going anywhere. But yet we can't really find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have permission to get heated and ugly and mean and just lose control of the things you say and your actions. That's nowhere in the Bible. So I want to bring it to light today that the way we act in our homes reveals who we really are. I know in the midst of things just going crazy and in the midst of your kids just driving you over the edge that sometimes things come out and then you later regret it. But may I just say that crisis reveals what's already there. So your kids don't have a way of making you snap and become this different person. You know, you're not a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You're not splitting into someone you already aren't. What is coming out is there in your heart. It just has a way of coming out in those moments of weakness. All right, who you really are has a way of just coming to the surface. So we've been talking about the power of the tongue and how death and life are in the power of the tongue. And in our homes, we should be bringing life to our children, life into their little souls. Example, we should be their example. And so we went to the Bible and we began to look at the difference between a wise woman and a foolish woman. Now, in the Bible, it compares the wise man and a foolish man. And we see over and over and over that almost always it compares the mouth, the tongue, the speech with a wise and a foolish person. And so we began to use a lot of verses to look at what the Bible says about our words and what our mouth. And we see that a wise woman will use, and this is all recapped from last week, so I'm going to go through it quickly. Wise words, edifying and encouraging words, gracious words, thoughtful and thought out words, soft words. That's a hard one when you're angry. That one's a hard one, but the Bible says a soft answer, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That wrath could even be your own. So often we think it's the other person, but that anger that's boiling up inside of you, a soft answer has a way of calming. When you begin to yell and scream, all it does is just make everything worse. It magnifies the situation. So a soft, soft word. All right. We also see wholesome words. I love that word, wholesome. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We're supposed to be giving life. Wholesome words, acceptable words, spirit-filled words, guarded words, healing words. Now, some of this I don't think we got into the last time, so we'll just do a little bit of going into the spirit-filled words, which, you know, goes right along with wise words. A wise woman knows that there are times that the words in her mouth should not be her own words, right? I mean, honestly, everything that comes out of our mouth shouldn't be from us. It should be from the Lord. It should be from the Holy Spirit. But there are times, especially when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you're stressed out, that what comes out of your mouth just doesn't need to be from you. It needs to be from the Lord. So a wise woman will allow God to lead her to the right words in order to impact the lives of others, impact those children. There are crucial times when a wise woman will get out of the way and let God direct her mouth. Jeremiah 1:9 says that the Lord will put forth his hand and touch my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Can you imagine the picture here? The Lord put forth his hand over my mouth. Wow. I mean, if I allowed God to do that every time, I would never regret my words. I would never have those moments of mom guilt where I spewed things that should not have come from my mouth. If we let God put his words in our mouth, could you imagine the difference? Wow. Wow, huh? Guarded words. A wise woman will guard her mouth and use caution, reservation, and restraint when choosing her words. Psalms 141:3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips right. I mean, just like keep it shut. Just keep it shut. Shut the door, Lord. Keep it shut. Help me. I love that. Guarded words. All right. The next one, healing words. Wow. Guys, have you ever thought about, are your words healing? Are they bringing forth hope or are they bringing forth hurt? And if you think you have the right to hurt others with your words, you need to go to the Bible and check the Bible and see if that's correct. But we live in a world where people think they have the right to say whatever they want to say because they're being true to themselves. Honey, let me just say, nowhere in the Bible it says be true to yourself. You are supposed to be true to God. And if you think you can say whatever you want and it's okay and there's no consequences in your words, you're wrong because your words hold destiny. Your words hold death and life. And let me say, one day you will stand before the Lord and you will give an account to every word you've ever said. If that doesn't scare you, oh my, that frightens me. Frightens me that I'm going to give an account of what comes out of this mouth. But healing words. Wise woman's words are like a healing balm to those around her. They should add comfort and cheer and reassurance. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant, pleasant words bring healing. Number 11, hushed words. Now, I think this is probably one of the most important points right here. This is the hardest and the most challenging, but a wise woman knows when to keep her mouth shut. Okay? In other words, just hushed. Hushed. Don't say anything. You just hush it up. Hushed words. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just say nothing at all. It's not the easiest, is it? No, it's not. Lord knows how many times I've had to bite my tongue because I wanted to say something so bad. But the Holy Spirit was saying, keep it shut. Keep it shut. Don't say anything. And I really thought my eyeballs were going to pop out of my head because I wanted to say something so bad. But do you see? It was me. It was my flesh. And we all have our own opinion. We all have our own thoughts. We all have our own agenda a lot of times in our words. But when we are following the Holy Spirit and it becomes about Him, we learn when to keep our mouth shut. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." The more you say, the more you have an opportunity to mess up. The less you say, the less you have the opportunity to mess up. "He that refraineth his lips is wise." Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from trouble." Proverbs 17:27-28, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Wow. Let's just keep it zipped. In those moments when you feel like you're about to snap at those babies, in those moments when you want to give them the what for and you want to show them who is the boss and who's in charge and who's in control, just keep your mouth shut. You don't have to rant. You don't have to rave. You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. You don't have to put them in their place. You don't have to belittle them. You don't have to make them pay. You can just keep your mouth shut. If you want to see where you are spiritually, where you are in line with Christ, not comparing yourself to someone else, and you see a mom who, you know, yells at her kids all the time and jerks them around and she loses control and you're like, "Ooh, I'm a good mom. I don't do that." Well, we don't measure our spirituality and our relationship with Christ by comparing ourselves to someone else. We measure it according to the Word of God. And this one right here, woo, this one gets all of us. James 1:26. I'm going to tell you, it'll put your spirituality to a test. It says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Do you see what that's saying? Everything you do for religion's sake is pointless. It's in vain. It's useless if you can't control your tongue. And that goes to the way you speak to your children and the way you speak to your husband. Do you get that, ladies? Wow. If that doesn't convict and step on our toes, right? A wise woman knows that sometimes it's best to say nothing at all. Do y'all remember little Thumper? Cute little Thumper and Bambi. What was his words of wisdom that he would share with those around him? Well, it was his mama's words of wisdom, because every time he'd get in trouble, he'd have to repeat it, right? Mama said, "If I can't say nothing nice, I can't say nothing at all." Right? Boy, if we would get back to that mentality, if I ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Keep it inside my mouth. Don't let it flow out. So those were all the wise woman's ways that she used wisdom to use her words. All right. So just a real quick recap of those. And I'm sure there's hundreds of more ways that a wise woman uses her words. But these were the 11 that we used in the book. Wise words, edifying and encouraging words, gracious words, thoughtful and thought out words, soft words, wholesome words, acceptable words, Spirit-filled words, guarded words, healing words, and hushed words. Now let's go to a foolish woman and let's see what comes out of her mouth, okay? All right, first off, a foolish woman this is kind of plain sense, common sense here. She uses foolish words, doesn't she? A foolish woman's mouth is just the opposite of a wise woman's. Her speech is filled with thoughtlessness, rash, reckless, ill-considered, impolite, unintelligent words. She lacks good sense, good judgment, and wisdom. So obviously her speech is filled with foolishness. Ecclesiastes 10:13-14 says, "But the lips of the fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness." Wow, mischievous madness. And Proverbs 15:2 says, "But the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness." I hope that's never said of me, that just a bunch of foolishness and nonsense comes out of my mouth. Number two, hasty words. Hasty words. Have you ever thought about that? Like your words just being quick and hasty? "A foolish woman will quickly give you a piece of her mind at the drop of a hat." "She never thinks or prays about what she should say or how she should handle a situation. She is like a walking volcano waiting to spew out hot lava." Proverbs 29:20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him." Proverbs 29:11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." So foolish words, hasty words, angry words. A foolish woman uses angry words. Angry words tend to add more fuel to the fire, don't they? Just like a flame immersed with gasoline, it has a tendency to explode, doesn't it? And if it's not managed, it gets out of control very quickly. Well, angry words also make things worse. They will never diffuse a situation. They only make it worse. And a foolish woman does not know how to handle her reactions or her temper or her words. She doesn't have the control that she needs. So she doesn't fight a fair fight. And she typically spits out hostile words that are very unnecessary. She quickly loses control of her mouth, her temper, and the entire situation. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife." Proverbs 15:1 says, "But grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 10:11, "But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosoms of fools." Then we see that she also uses evil words. The definition of evil is wicked, bad, wrong, foul, sinful, dishonorable, corrupt, and vicious. When you are spreading gossip or lies or drama or half-truths, when you are even going in that route to your children, when you're just jumping all over them and you're not really using the truth about the situation, you're magnifying it, you're dramatizing it, you're escalating it, you're making it worse than it really is, and you're not using good words, well, then the opposite of good and the opposite of good and right and beautiful is bad and wrong and sinful and corrupt. And so we can even have the tendency of doing this to our own children. Don't use evil words. Proverbs 15:28 says, "But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Mamas, let's not do this around our children. Let's not pour out evil things. That even goes, listen, you shouldn't gossip in front of your children. Your children should never hear you say anything bad about their teacher, bad about their friend's mom, anything bad about the preacher. They shouldn't hear you and your husband bad mouthing the people at church or your co-workers. Those things should not be things that your children hear from you. That's not easy. Let's just be honest. That's not easy. All right. Very quickly, I'm going to go through the next few ones. Dishonest words. You cannot, listen, you can't believe anything a fool has to say or a liar has to say. So as a mama, what comes out of your mouth should be honest and true. It should not be a lie. And we got to be careful about allowing things to be crooked or twisted or distorted or anything that would cause someone not to put their faith and trust in you, especially your children. So if you know you're not going to follow through with something, don't do it. Don't be honest. Proverbs 4:24 says, put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Proverbs 10:3, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. Proverbs 10:18, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Be honest in your speech. All right, and then this is the last point for today, and that's meaningless words. This point was saved for last because, listen, we've all been guilty of this at some time or another. We have used words that just had no purpose, no meaning, no use. We just talk to talk or talk to be heard. And this could be why most women, let's be honest, we're known that for having the gift of gab. So, because we enjoy talking and fellowshipping, there's nothing wrong with that. We just have to be careful that we still guard our mouth and we don't use meaningless words. So even in front of our children, the things we choose to say should have value and meaning. Is that easy? No. No, it's not. But listen, our words, are they a blessing or a cursing? Are they helpful or hurtful? Are they wise or foolish? Are they healing or destructive? Are they encouraging or discouraging? Are they words of life or words of death? Proverbs 18:21, I've said it and I'll say it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So remember, there is power in our words. There is destiny in our words. There is also consequences to our words. So choose your words wisely and don't choose them foolishly. The way we can invest in our children is by using good, godly, wholesome, wise words. Proverbs 31:26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. If we applied that law of kindness into our home, could you imagine how different our homes would look? Oh, it'd be beautiful. The law of kindness. That might be a challenge we have one day. The law of kindness challenge. Well, ladies, I love you, and it's time for me to stop. I will see you next time on the Mommy Meltdown, and I pray that something I said today was uplifting and maybe just challenged you and motivated you to make a difference in your home today. Go be the light. Shine it beautifully and brightly in your home. Blessings and joy.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Welcome back. Thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to What Now God radio show. Thank you so much. I am your host, Cheryl Woods, author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. This is the show where we answer the question, what now, God? When we're dealing with life's tragedies, when we are dealing with issues personally, when we're dealing with things that may have been brought to us by our family, by our friends, the tragedies, the wars, everything that's going on with the world, we ask ourselves, what now, God? What do we do as Christians? What do we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other out as we help ourselves? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just excited, so excited. Every first and third Friday, you can catch us here on the Lifted Authors Radio Network. Shout out to our CEO, Tammy Polk, as well as Miss Kayla Pageant of Finding My Way Radio Network. I am, again, your host, Cheryl Woods, and you can catch me here every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So listen, tune in, and tell a friend. So today's topic is, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? And as I stated before, I'm the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together, which is available on Amazon, as well as my website, sistars.org, if you would like to have a wonderful read. But I feel like I'm kind of an expert on the topic because there's so many times throughout my 42 years of living that I just felt like my life was falling apart. And I even asked myself the question, what now, God? What do I do now that I'm dealing with this situation? So on today, we're going to discuss that topic. What do you do when you feel like your life is falling apart? Okay. And I'm going to go over three specific points that are going to help you, the listener, hopefully not just get through some things yourself, but we all know that when we go through things, sometimes it's because we are meant to help someone else get through that exact same situation, okay? God doesn't just send us through things because he's not a loving God or he wants us to be tested, okay? There's a purpose for every situation, every trial that we go through. And hopefully on today, on this broadcast, we can discuss that. And as always, I would love to invite you, if you are an author, if you are an activist, if you are a speaker, if you have a cause that you want to speak about on the What Now God radio show, I do invite you to apply to be a guest on one of our upcoming segments. And you can do that by going to bit.ly/WNG radio guest. Okay. So go ahead and apply. I'd love to have you on the next show. So without further ado, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? Now, the first thing is that you have to remember, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, what he said, what she said, what they said, you have to know without a doubt that God is working all things together for your good, okay? So when we're going through some things, it can seem like the worst of times, you know, whether it's a loss, whether it's, you know, a loss of job, a loss of your loved one, whether it's a health scare, you're dealing with an illness. When we're going through, what happens is our focus becomes so laser pointed to what we're going through. We're not looking up where we should be looking. We're not looking to God necessarily, but a lot of times our focus goes into that bad feeling, goes into that hurt, that pain, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But we have to remember that no matter what we're going through at that time, that God is working all things together for our good. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, I may have lost my job today. Yes, I may not know where my next meal is coming from or how I'm going to pay my bills. I may be dealing with a diagnosis from my doctor that does not look great. I may have just broken up with the love of my life. I may have just lost someone to, you know, to a tragedy that has really just taken me out of, you know, out of myself to where I'm feeling so hurt. But guess what? All of those things, God is going to work together. And sometimes we question God and we ask, why me? But we have to remember that God is an awesome, on time, never failing God. Okay. He's all powerful. And a lot of times his ways, not a lot of times, but most of the time, all of the time, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there is nothing impossible for God. So that bad situation, that tragedy, that health scare, whatever it is, he can still use all of that bad stuff and turn it into something so good, so great, that instead of crying out, why me, you'll be thanking him. And trust me, because like I said, in these 42 years of living, I have lived through some stuff. And guess what? They say that what kills you, what doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger. That is the truth. And the fact is that you have already, if you're listening to this radio show, you're listening to this broadcast, you have already survived 100% of everything that the devil has tried to use to take you out. So guess what? You're on the winning team. God is yet working all things together for your good. So I want you to remember that, number one. And number two, your purpose is often born through your pain. We all go through storms in life, okay? You, me, our parents, our kids, we all have our personal storms that we will go through in life. It's inevitable. But the question is, are you just gonna go through it? Or are you gonna allow God to grow you through it, okay? That storm is going to teach you some things about yourself. I promise it's going to teach you some things about yourself that you would have never known were it not for you going through that storm. So you're going to learn some things about you that you never knew, okay? That storm is going to connect you with some people that you would have never, ever connected with otherwise. That storm is going to awake a strength in you that's going to not only equip you to help somebody else through their storm, but it's going to have you closer to God. It's going to have you trusting him more, calling on him more than you have ever done before, okay? And what is that going to do? That's going to build that relationship with God. That's going to build that faith muscle, okay? Because we all know when we're, it's like when you're exercising, all right? You may start off only being able to lift 5 pounds or 10 pounds. You may be able to do about 10 reps at a time. But then as you work, as you continue to exercise, as you continue to lift those weights, then the next week, maybe you're up to 15 and 20 and so on and so forth. The same thing goes for our faith muscle, okay? When we go through things, when we go through those storms in life, it builds our faith. Because what happens? Like I said, we start calling on God more. And when we're calling on God more, we're building a better relationship. Our prayer becomes more effective. Our being able to listen to God and hear from him becomes more clear. So instead of us throwing ourselves at God's mercy, now we're communicating. Now we're not just praying. We're worshiping God. We're thanking God because we know that without God, where would we be? Okay? So again, your purpose is often born through your storm, your pain. So what does that mean when we say that our purpose is born through our pain? Sometimes when life is going good, you know, we're sailing through life, the sun is shining, everything is going right. What happens? We may continue to pray every day, but we're just going through the motions. We're not really connected, as connected with God as we sometimes should be. So when we go through that pain, we begin to learn things about ourselves. We begin to learn that we are stronger than we thought we were. We begin to see ourselves and other people in different lights. We begin to tap into our inner strengths, our inner gifts, our inner talents that we may not never have known that we had. And from that, we figure out, okay, wow, I persevered through this storm and I'm great at this. I'm great at helping someone else now, because now that I've been through my storm, I can relate to others who are going through. I can teach them and show them that guess what? I made it. And if I made it, you can too. Or through my storm, I got through my storm by writing. Wow, I never knew I was so great at writing. Maybe it's my purpose to write. Maybe it's my purpose to share my thoughts through poetry, to share my thoughts through spoken word, through writing books, through motivational speaking. Or we find out that I'm great at listening. I'm great at inspiring. I'm great at giving people encouragement, okay? I'm great at giving people advice. Or through your pain, maybe you find that, you know, that you were so broke you had to figure out a way to make some money. So now you're making meals to bring in extra money. You're selling plates. Or maybe you're doing crochet, or maybe you're doing any other type of creative work that you've used in your time of financial problems. So now what happens? That pain of you not having enough has now turned into a purpose, to where now you know that, oh, I can make money doing this, but also I can help people doing this, okay? So again, we have to remember that so often that pain that we're going through, that struggle that we're going through, is just those birthing pains of birthing our purpose. And if we keep pushing, if we do not give up, if we do not give in, if we trust God, continue to trust God through it all, then guess what? We're going to birth something so amazing. We're going to birth something so beautiful that we'll forget about those labor pains, ladies and gentlemen. We will forget about those labor pains, and we're just going to remember and see the blessing that was birthed, that purpose that was birthed through our pain, okay? So first of all, remember, no matter how it looks, that God is working all things together for your good. And secondly, remember that often through our purpose is born through our pain. So although we go through those struggles in life, although we go through those storms in life, it's okay. God is going to get you through it, and you're going to come out so much better than before, okay? And let's just be honest. When we're going through things, we're not thinking about, you know, any of this. So that's why we have to try to remember. We have to try to stay connected to God, even when we're not going through things, because a lot of times He'll prepare us ahead of time for something that we may be about to go through, or for something that our loved ones are about to go through. So many of you know, in the last couple of weeks, tragedy hit a famous basketball player, Kobe Bryant, who most of us know. I don't care if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan or not. 9 times out of 10, you knew who Kobe Bryant was one way or another.
left high school, went straight to the NBA. His dad was an awesome basketball player. You may have even seen him in the news, you know, for some not so savory things when he was accused of rape. Let's just keep it real. And over the last 2 weeks, we watched as tragedy unfolded within the life of Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa, and their four daughters. And unfortunately, you know, I pray for the family. I pray for Vanessa. I pray for his remaining children, because just watching, just getting the notification, we were in church when our pastor, you know, said we need to pray for Kobe Bryant and his family. And he announced the sad, just unbelievable news that he had went down in the helicopter. And when I say my entire church family, I mean, we're all mourning. You would think that Kobe was, you know, our relative, a close brother, a close uncle, or our own father, or our own son, how we were mourning and how the mood in church just completely changed. Okay. So as we're sitting on the outside looking in on this family going through this storm, it was hard, and it is still hard to see that anything purposeful or anything good can come out of this tragedy. And then when you find out, when we all found out that his baby girl, Gianna, was also with him, and seven other people that also lost their lives, okay? Each just as important as Kobe. You know, a lot of times we may send condolences to celebrities because they're in the limelight and we feel like we know them, we feel a connection to them. But we also have to remember that there were others, seven other families, two that were, you know, a husband and wife and their child, and then also another player's mom and herself, as well as the pilot and another coach who also had a family. They all had families. So I said all that to say that when we're going through the storm, when we're watching our loved ones, when we're watching our families going through the storm, sometimes we don't see the purpose. We don't see any good that can possibly come out of it, especially when it's something as tragic as an accident that causes death, as tragic as something that is so publicized that you're constantly reminded of it, that you as a mother, that you as a daughter, that you, you know, have a connection. You can relate so much, and you're so sad because of this tragedy. It's hard for us to figure out, how are we going to get through this storm? How are we going to help our loved ones through that storm? And the question does arise, what now, God? What do we do? Well, let me tell you what I saw. And this is just my personal opinion. I saw so many people praying, more people praying that I've ever seen before, online and social media, within my family, within my church family, people that I didn't even know, you know, that were Christian, that believed in God. They came out, they prayed, they, you know, sent out love, they made cards, they came out to the Staples Center, the celebrities, you know, everybody was just shocked and hurt and tears. So this tragedy caused so many other people to go to God, caused so many other people to send out prayers to the families, the survivors, that I know without a doubt that something good has to come out of it. As horrible and as sickening and as tragic as the loss of all nine of those lives were, those were people's dads and moms and sisters and brothers and, you know, uncles. It is tragic. But on the flip end, how many people sent their prayers to God? How many people actually went out of their way to be there for the families, to help them through their tragedies? How many people were, you know, when they found out that Kobe had just came from Mass, you know, he's Catholic, so the news, you know, posted that he had just came from prayer. How many people turned their lives over to God? How many people, instead of holding grudges with their family members, instead of, you know, just going about the day-to-day ins and outs. Instead, called those people, called those loved ones who they may not have spoken to in a long time and reconnected, okay? So throughout this tragedy, throughout this storm, throughout the pain, there was still a purpose that God has, and it's still being revealed to many of us. So we have to pay attention. So again, oftentimes we go through our storms in life, but we have to know that in that storm, God is with us. It will bring us closer to God. It will help us to trust Him more, call on Him more, okay? And no matter how bad it looks, things are going to be all right, okay? So that was the second thing. And last but not least, when you feel like your life is falling apart, it just may be God putting you back together. We're all guilty of holding on to some things that we should not, okay? And if you like me, I hold on for things a lot longer than I should. I am guilty of that. But we're all guilty of holding on to things a lot longer than we should. Things that God has told us to let go. Things that we know we should let go. But for whatever reason, we are still holding on. We have a grip on it and we won't let it go. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a person that you're holding on to, whether it's a place, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whether it's unforgiveness, or maybe it's anger that you're holding on to, whatever it is, we've gotten so used to holding on to it that it starts to become a part of us. We live it, we breathe it, we think it. And God sees it. He knows. He sees that sad condition that we are in. And the good thing is, He loves us too much to leave us in that same sad place. That sad place of hopelessness. That place of fear, of confusion, of hurt, of pain. So what does God do? I'll tell you what He does. God allows some things to happen. Some people to betray us. Some losses to occur. Some health issues to happen, even tragedies where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? Sometimes God will do a thing that'll make it to where you have nobody but Him. You have no choice but to call on Him, to get on your knees and cry out, God, help me, okay? Like I said, I have been there. I have felt like my life was falling apart, all right? I have been through, and I know, my listeners, you may be going through something right now. You may have be just getting over something, but we've all been there, okay? And so what happens is God allows these things to happen where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? My God, thank you, God. And then at that moment when God finally gets our full attention, what does He do? He just begins to love on us. He begins to ease our pain, to take over that burden. God speaks to us. He lets us know, my child, I got you, okay? I got you. Somebody needs to hear that. My child, I got you, okay? And the part that I love the most is how He replaces that pain and all those bad feelings, all that negative energy that we were so tightly holding on to, like it was, you know, like our life depended on it. He replaces that with joy and the comforting assurance of the truth of His word, okay? He tells us and He shows us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let me say that again. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed. Do you hear that? He reminds us to fear not, for I am with you. And my favorite, He lets us know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. You see, He reassures us, He comforts us with the truth of His word. When we feel like our life is falling apart, He reminds us of all His wonderful promises. So to my listeners today, who may be going through a personal storm, who may be surrounded by those who are going through storms, and maybe you're a friend or a family member and your loved one is going through some things. We just have to remember that when trouble comes your way, when tragedy hits, when it feels like your life is falling apart, just rest in knowing that God is with you through every storm. Your purpose is being birthed through that pain. And God is not, I repeat, God is not going to allow you to fall apart without His perfect plan to put you back together stronger, physically, mentally, spiritually. And yes, honey, when I say God is good, He will put you back together way better than before. I'm a living witness, okay? So in the midst of all those personal issues, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of unspeakable tragedies, just do your best to stay focused on God and allow Him to help you find the way. Because even as He helps you find the way, He's also teaching you how to help somebody else find theirs, okay? So again, when your life is falling apart, just know that it really may be God putting you back together. And on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, for listening to this week's segment of the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'll see you every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Tune in and tell a friend. Listen to the What Now God radio show. I'll see you all next time. You have a blessed and happy Friday.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.